And let's get into a review of the weekend's action. And joining us from the Trial Files is Matt Welsh. How are you, Matt?
Very well, Nadia. How are you?
Yeah, very well. What a great weekend of racing it was. We had a solid program set down for Flemington, but eyes were in particular in Adelaide with a lot of Victorian interest with their big day of the year with the running of the Goodwood.
Yeah, absolutely, Nadia. And obviously your best place to give us a review of this. I want to ask a couple of questions about the Goodwood. The first one is the drift on Vega Magic. He was sort of $2.50, $2.60 for much of the week last week. And probably Thursday there was a push started against him and he's ended up starting in excess of $4. I want to ask your thoughts on that drift and also your comment on the winning ride of Ben Mellum. To my eye, it was one of the best Group 1 rides I've seen.
It was a fantastic ride. There's no doubting that. Look, the drift was an interesting one. Look, I know myself, I priced him at $5 and had him going pretty close to some of his better figures. So I wasn't at all surprised to see the drift because I think there was a lot of hype surrounding him. Clearly he was the best performed horse in the race, but I think those early markets with the hype around him, they did tend to have him way too short, and he probably found his right spot in the end in the market just due to the fact of the percentage I do my race on and what the public did. So just having a look at, you know, the weight that I had his chance, he ended up still being my favourite, but pretty similar to where he started. So, look, the drift wasn't a great surprise to me. I just think he was way too well found in the early markets.
And how was the race run? Obviously, Santa Ana Lane has ultimately won the race. How did you see the race unfolding, and where do you rate it in terms of previous Goodwoods from a strength point of view?
I would say that they've pretty much gone to usual past standard for a Goodwood. They seem to have come out really running in the early part of the race, where for Group 1 standard at Morfordville, they've ran well above par through that first section, nearly 8 lengths above Group 1 standard. So that obviously pulled the late sectional numbers down, where you could see that the field's numbers deteriorated over the concluding stages. But just having a look at it overall, I've pretty much got it going to a standard rating of what you would usually see come out of this race.
And so for the listeners out there, Santa Ana Lane, of course, beat Miss Rock, and fantastic performance I'll Have a Bit, the three-year-old filly trained by John McArdle. She's just loving racing over in Adelaide.
Well, she is, and it was interesting when you analyse the numbers heading into that UCLAS, because as we know, the UCLAS rated a lot higher than what the Group 1, UBET Classic, did on the day, and I'll Have a Bit came out and won that. So that form has somewhat been franked with I'll Have a Bit coming out and winning, and also with She's So High coming out and winning the Proud Miss earlier on in the program. So it ended up being a very strong form race where the numbers were correct, because both of those horses have ran particularly well.
And out of the Goodwood, is there anything we can follow going forward? Might head up to Brisbane for some of the races up there, or just find a race in Adelaide in the coming weeks?
Look, I sort of feel that from a local front, you know, you've got a horse like Steel Frost who probably ran to one of his better figures, beaten only 2.3 lengths in the run home, and even an Exalted Adam was only 4.4 away. So as far as the local horses, they ran well. Even Micah Leal, who got herself in a run into the race after being placed at Group 1 level in the UBET Classic the run prior. Look, she didn't have a heck of a lot of luck throughout. Vidora pulled up with an issue. She had heart arrhythmia after the race and pulled up with a thump. So she hadn't had the ideal preparation leading into the race. But it's hard to take anything away from those who sort of did finish right up there in the money, with Santa Ana Lane, who you mentioned was beautifully ridden, and also Miss Rock, who ran out of her skin as well. But do remember, Santa Ana Lane didn't have any luck at all in the Mackay Stakes in lead-up, and there was no real shock in the victory. He didn't have a lot of luck at all at his run prior.
No, he is the sort of horse who needs that really good ride, because he is always going to get back in the second half of the field, and as you say, didn't have a lot of luck in the lead-up. Is that twice in a row now Miss Rock has been second in this race?
Yes, it is. Miss Rock, of course, has ran some pretty good races in the past, and she usually does perform exceptionally well when she does head over to Adelaide. I think it's interesting, too, the way that the track was. They had a heck of a lot of rain on the Friday leading into the meeting, which obviously played havoc a bit on the track. They're only anticipating 5 mil of rain. Well, they got about 25 mil of rain. So we were working off of a track which did have a fair bit of cut out of the ground, which obviously a lot of horses weren't suited because of that bias, but they were sort of tending to play right across the track, and I don't really feel, once again, that the inside was probably the fastest part of the track, but I don't think it was a bigger negative, as we did see, hence the reason was the rail being out. But of course, as a three-year-old filly, she was a runner-up in this race last year behind Vega Magic, so she usually runs very well in it. And of course, Santa Ana Lane last year, he finished fifth in the race, and he wasn't beaten that far either. So both of those horses horses were back again, and they ran well.
Another one of the features, again, over 1,200 metres, was the Proud Miss Stakes at Group 3 level for the fillies and mares. This race was taken out by the Mick Price-trained She's So High, who's been performing well over in Adelaide for Damien Oliver. Creativity was quite well back. She led them up and knocked up a little bit. And Nadia, in doing a few of the replays last night, I noticed a lot of the leaders struggled over the concluding stages, and the majority of winners, particularly in the features, came from the second half of the field.
Yeah, they did. And that had a lot to do with, I feel, the rain that happened and that sort of inside one-two section of the rail there just being that little bit worse. But a lot of these races were run quite fast through the early section as well. The Goodwood was fast run. This race was really fastly run through the first section, where they've gone probably 5.5 lengths above par for the Group 3 standard at 1,200 metre races at Morfordville. And you have a look at some of the other races. You know, the Mares race, they flew in that too. And also the SA Fillies Classic, the staying race, they went really hard through the first part of the race. So a lot of that would have to do with a lot of that early pressure that was exerted early. But as we talked about, it's been a really good, solid form race, that Euclase. And, of course, this horse came out of it where she was great when she was a runner-up behind I'll Have a Bit, and is sort of frank that form coming out and winning. And I had her priced a dominant favourite, and she clearly was the horse that the punters wanted on race day.
One of the races of interest from a Victorian point of view was the National Stakes Race 2 on the card. Marcel from Madrid and Aristia Quinella, the race for the Ellerton Zara Yard. How was this race run, and what do you think of these two horses going forward?
Well, they went pretty quick. Look, they've probably gone four lengths above average standard for two-year-olds at Group 3 level, so they've definitely gone along at a fairly good tempo. The stable really didn't think there was much between the two, Marcel from Madrid and also Aristia in lead-up to the race, and, you know, they've both ran very well accordingly. Of course, Tequila Time has pretty much been that benchmark two-year-old through the carnival, the local horse, and he might have just had enough. Look, he's done such a great job all the way through this preparation. You know, he's won numerous races on end since he's been gelded. He's been back this preparation, and he was able to string four consecutive wins together, and he was on a seven-day backup from last week. So I don't really think you can take too much away from him, and he was stepping back to 1,200 metres. So he's definitely a horse who can probably measure up as a three-year-old with a bit of time on his side and head over the border and be a force through the Melbourne Carnival. But you can't take anything away from the leading two horses that the obviously set for the race.
I think Aristia is going to be better over 1400 and further in time as well. She's shown that, particularly down the straight in her leading run at Flemington. And Tequila Time, from memory, covered a bit of ground in the run.
Yes, she did. She didn't get the best of runs throughout, and still was only beaten 2.1 lengths. So they've definitely got a lot to look forward to with him going forward.
And quick comments on the SA Fillies Classic, where Pleasuring beat Earth Angel and Teodora, and also the Lee Stakes, where Land of Plenty, who was sent over the border in favour of running at Flemington, was a very well-backed favourite and got the cash from a local in overexposure.
Yeah, look, if you look at that SA Fillies Classic and you line it up against the other 2,500 metre race on the program, which was a listed quality open staying race, the Port Adelaide Cup, there was a huge difference here in early lead speed. The Port Adelaide Cup, they went at about -9.5, where this race they've gone, you know, 8.6 lengths above par. So, you know, there's about a 17 difference in speed there through the early part of the race, hence the reason why they've absolutely walked home in the SA Fillies Classic. But look, she got a very good run throughout. There didn't look to be that much speed on paper, so that early sectional did surprise me. But you often find with three-year-old fillies up to this type of trip, or three-year-olds of any sex up to this type of trip for the first time, when there is a race on paper that doesn't look to be a lot of speed, you get horses which are ridden outside of their normal zone. But she was very good in winning, and she'll obviously come back a much better four-year-old.
Well, that's a wrap of Morfordville. We'll head to Flemington on Saturday, where we had nine races and an outstanding performance by Boomtime, which I'll get to shortly. The track started a soft five. It was upgraded to good four, Nadia, just before the fourth race from memory. And they ran very quick times, so I have a feeling that track was certainly a good four from the outset, and maybe even on the firmer side of that good four, because the times were outstanding.
And in particular, the early lead speeds, just having a look at those, Matt, they've gone very hard virtually and broken part in every race, which gives you an indication that that track was playing all right. Well, let's have a look at the first. This was a two-year-old race, an open over 1,400 metres. What happened here as far as the betting?
Vacillator, the eventual winner, was 360 out to 440, so he was pretty easy. There wasn't a huge amount of interest in the race, but the best-backed runner was the likely leader and eventual leader in Unfair Dismissal from the McAvoy Yard, who was $23 into 12, but a pretty quiet race from a betting point of view.
And what did you take out of the winning performance by Vacillator?
Look, it was a very good win again by Vacillator. He won on Anzac Day. Look, he did a good job there. He set it a little bit closer in the run. Again, he got a strong tempo to suit. But what was the most notable factor about him is he still does a lot wrong. His action was a bit messy when he hit the front. He just sort of wanted to wander around in the straight a little bit. So that's a great sign for the Colin Little stable. This bloke's still got plenty to come. He's a very nice chestnut colt. I believe he's now going to be sent for a spell and aimed at the Caulfield Guineas. Not necessarily suggesting that he'd be a leading contender at this stage. He's still got a fair bit to go, but he's trending in the right direction. And look, I think the mile will certainly be ideal for him next campaign. Outside of him, I thought both Mirette and Zutori did a good job from a 1600 metre perspective. I think as they step up in trip next time, they're going to be very well suited and can be followed. They ran the race at a good clip. Unfair Dismissal, as I mentioned, led them up, knocked up badly, was probably entitled to, but would have liked to have seen just a touch more late over the concluding stages. The other one who didn't have a lot of luck was Winning Partner. He was getting from 1,050 up to 1,400 very quickly. They rode him quietly from the low barrier draw, and he just didn't get a lot of luck in the straight. So he might be another one worth following. I think the winner's going to go for a spell. He looks classy, and I think he'll come back a better horse with a bit more time on his side, Nadia.
We have a look at race two, 1,200 metres, 78 for three-year-old fillies. It was won by Egyptian Bullet. What about the market story?
Yeah, again, Grey Shadow was the notable drifter, $3 out to 370. She started favourite, but as I said, she continued to drift, and her stablemate was the best supporter, Twitchy Frank, $13 into $8.50. Again, there wasn't a huge amount of movement in the market. Egyptian Bullet, the ultimate winner, had a little interest late, $23 into $19.
And an interesting horse, the stable for John McArdle's absolutely flying at the moment, and this horse has gone around at a huge price. One first up at Werribee, went to Sandown at its next start, and that's three wins now on end.
It is. She's won all three this campaign, and she was $21 at Sandown last start, and again went around a big price, as you say, on Saturday. And the McArdle stable is certainly going well, and as is the jockey who rode this horse in Lockie King, who had at least a double on Saturday. He's a very good young rider. Look, they didn't go overly hard here. The field was probably covered by three or four lengths as they got to the 400-metre mark, and it was just a simple matter of the horse with the best turn of foot, which was Egyptian Bullet. For mine, I can't take a huge amount of out of the race going forward. Tarcoola Spirit did a good job to run second. The one horse I could excuse is Grey Shadow. She copped a big bump in the middle stages of the race and never really recovered from that. She also resented being restrained in the early stages and just wanted to get it over and done with quickly. She paraded very well, so I suspect if she gets back around to Ben next start, I think she's the one who might improve a little bit out of the race.
We have a look at race three. This was a 1600, a benchmark 78, and the market was bang on here with a Claire Calling, who's had the two runs this preparation, but ended up starting a clear-cut favourite.
Yeah, it certainly was. He was well backed in throughout the week. He just got out a little bit late, 240 out to 270 when the betting got really serious. But I think plenty had knocked that price off during the week. Noshio was $10 into 750. And the other reasonably well backed runner was the ultimate runner up in Box of Chocolates, who was having it just its second start for the Stephen Brown stable. He was 15 into 11 late.
Always had a bit of a rap on this horse, a Claire Calling, only lightly raced, but had a run at Caulfield prior to going to Flemington after sort of needing the run first up at Morfordville, and looks like there's still plenty in store this prep.
Yeah, look, he was unlucky last start behind Flying Murdy at Caulfield. Noel Callow, who was a late riding alteration here, just gave him the perfect sit. Couldn't have had a better run in transit off what was a reasonable tempo for the day. It certainly wasn't one of the quicker early tempos, so he had every chance. I thought the way he would cruised up to them at the 400 metre mark, he'd put them away and win by a couple of lengths. So I just wonder if maybe the 1600 metres might see him out at this point in time. I'm not sure if they're planning on stepping up in trip, but if he did and he went around a short quote, I'd probably be inclined to take him on to an extent. Box of Chocolates was off the bit a long way from home. I think he is, conversely, is a horse who's looking for further. That was an excellent run with a big break between starts for him. He'd had over a month between runs from his first up Australian run, so that was a great run from him, and he can certainly be followed. The sad tale in the race was Guizzo. He should have won by as far as you could kick your hat. He ran the best last 200 of the day. He had the leader fall back in his lap at about the 350, 400 metre mark. He had to go round that horse and just had no luck. Unfortunately, that's his racing style. He does get back and needs a lot of luck in running, but there's no doubt that Guizzo is absolutely flying.
We go to the fourth race, which was a 64 over 1,800 metres, and having a look at the market tail here, it was a race with quite a few chances.
Yeah, there certainly were. It was a very even market. The best move came during the week for Jake's Hill, who was $9 into $5 leading up to race day. There was no more interest in him on race day. He sort of held that price. Quick Defence was quite well back late, ultimately jumped favourite on the exchanges from memory. He was $6 into $5. There was a good move for the winner, Jaminza, who paraded very well, I might add, $12 into $7.50. And the other one who attracted some support was the Leon Shannon Hope Train Balcazar, who was $10 into $8.50.
Okay, so that's a look at the betting. What about the winner here, Jaminza, who was on a seven-day backup?
Yeah, this was a fabulous ride by Luke Nolan. He was the first four over the line here. Jaminza, 4x4, Balcazar and Jake's Hill were all towards the back of the field in the run. They went out quite hard in this race. Luke Nolan managed to cut the corner and go inside of runners, whereas the other three of the first four over the line had to go around the whole field. So fabulous ride by Luke Nolan, saved plenty of ground. Good win. I was really taken with the run of Jake's Hill again. I noted him as a black booker at his first Australian start at Flemington last time out. He just conceded them too big a start, but he was certainly the best horse in the race late, and I think up to 2,000 metres next start he can be followed. And 4x4 and Balcazar have both run well. They're ticking over nicely, but I mark Jake's Hill as one of the runners to follow out of the whole meeting, Nadia.
Well, we look at race five now. This was a 2,000 metre open, and the market was pretty much with the winner Boom Time.
Yeah, look, there was not as much support as I was expecting on race day for Boom Time. It was $2.70 out to $3.20, so a bit of a drifter. There wasn't a huge amount of money outside of him, to be honest, though. Tarquin, $6 to $5. Second Bullet had a little nibble, $10 to $8.50. And there was a longer price move for Observational, who was 23 into 18. But not a huge amount of activity there on race five.
And what about the winner Boom Time? What did you think of him?
Yeah, outstanding. Nadia, this was the win of a Group 1 horse in the middle of winter. You won't see too many better 2,000-metre wins than what he produced on Saturday. Look, it's very dangerous to compare times on different days, but the time he recorded on Saturday on what was a slow five up to a good four track would have put him right in the finish of the Australia Cup just on raw times alone. And that was a pretty fast run Australia Cup, if you recall, with Harlem winning. So he looked great in his action. He atoned for his luckless first up run. I'm sure he'll now be sent for a spell after a couple of runs and freshened up for a race like the Caulfield Cup. And he's right on track. That was it. Just an exceptional performance. I thought the run of My Nordic Hero in second was good as well. He wanted to over race a bit in the early and middle stages of the race. He covered a bit of ground. He had to cart the field up to the runaway horse in Boom Time. So given the time that they've run for the race, he has run very well as well, My Nordic Hero. But yeah, fantastic win by Boom Time and the clear highlight of the day.
What were some of the movements in the straight six, race number six, the list, the 1,200 metre race? Rich Charm started favourite?
He did start favourite, but there was a big push against him, and I suspect that was because of the low barrier draw. It always looked awkward on the map. He was $2.70 out to $3.50. There was great support for First Among Equals leading up to the race day and early on Saturday, $7 into $4.50 before he eased late to start $6.50. And the eventual runner-up, Divine Quality, was $7 into $5.
And what did you take out of this race as far as the way it was run and the winner?
Again, down the straight, they went very slowly early. Malibu Style went a lot slower than he did over 1,000 metres at this track, his start prior, even though he was settling second at that previous start. Just a dash home. First among equals has run the best last 800, 600 and 400 of the day. He'd been going very well before he went to Adelaide and probably put in a slightly inauspicious performance over there, but has bounced back. Divine Quality was good, but had the perfect race shape, was within striking distance at the 200 metre mark. She's going well. I thought the runner Knowable was excellent, a horse who's probably going to want further in time this campaign. That was a fabulous run to run for third. And Rich Charm was a touch disappointing for mine, was off the bit of fairway out, has had a reasonably long campaign, might be looking for the spelling paddock now. So the barrier certainly played against. And just on Malibu's style, I don't think the race shape really suited him. So he might be a big improver next start. Maybe back in trip, maybe he's better suited at that 1,000, 1,100 metre mark.
Race 7 was one of the features as well, the 3,200 metre Andrew Ramsden Stake. And as we expected, it was a race with quite a few chances in the market. Checkered Flag ended up starting favourite.
Yeah, he was well back. Checkered Flag, 7 into 480. Sherlock Holmes, 850 into 650. And Runaway was the favourite for a fair bit of betting, was $6 out to 7 late.
And Cinderwin ended up winning the race and was a good performance.
Yeah, it was a good performance. He, of course, dumped the jockey after about 100 metres in one of the key lead-ups and followed the field around, or actually annoyed the leader that day at Flemington, his previous start. So he had a good hit out in the lead-up. They didn't go overly hard here. He settled outside Runaway. I suspect Runaway might have come to the end of the preparation the way he knocked up late. Swakadelic was luckless in second, another Aaron Purcell runner who hasn't had a huge amount of luck. He also trained Guizzo earlier in the day. Geordie Childs had to change course a couple of times in the straight, and with even luck, he might have won the race. But these horses who get back, Nadia, as we know, they need that sort of luck. Checkered Flag ran well. I noted he went over the hurdles for a trial in the lead up to this run, so he might be heading that way. And if he is heading over the obstacles, he'll be very hard to beat wherever he goes. And Choicer, this horse was sort of midfield as they came around the home bend and got shuffled right out of the race to a clear last before making some really good late ground. So I think if we're going to follow one out of the race, it might be Choicer who could turn up reasonable odds next start.
We go over to race 8. We virtually had two equal favourites in the market in the form of Mossendale and Ken's Dream.
Yeah, Mossendale was easily one of the best backed runners on the day. There was support in the lead up to the races, and then on race day he was $4.80 into $3.80. Ken's Dream just gradually drifted throughout the day. There wasn't a huge amount of support outside of that, but Pilo Desai attracted a little bit of support in the lead up to the races. But yeah, it was all about the winner, Mossendale.
He was second up too, and he was able to get the money.
He was, and he has a fabulous second up record. I think that's now 4 from 4. Loves the 1400 and just had a perfect ride from another apprentice, Jack Martin, who rode this horse brilliantly. Ribeye was ridden upside down from what we're used to. He flashed late into second, and I think if he steps up to a mile next start and draws to lead or control a race, that he is certainly a horse we can follow. La Bella Diosa was first up here, a New Zealand mare trained by David and Ben Hayes and Tom Davenick. She ran quite well. I think she'll improve second up. And the horse I want to follow is that one I referenced earlier in Pilo Desai. He's now had two runs back from a tendon injury, which kept him off the scene for a long time. He paraded in improved fashion from his first up run on Saturday, and he just peaked on his run again late, but ran really well, only beaten 3.2 lengths. So I think he is ready to win third up, Nadia.
We go over to the last, and the market was all about Iconoclasm.
Yeah, outside of Boom Time, this was the win of the day. This is a stakes horse, Iconoclasm, and he was the only one punters wanted, $2.70 into $2. There was a little bit of late support for Masculino, trained by Mick Price, who was $6 into 9 late.
He does look like he's a promising type.
He does, and they went out very hard here. Free Fly 2 led outside Lord Sundowner, and then ultimately Free Fly 2 took up the running. Iconoclasm sat 3 deep. Again, which he's done his last couple of starts. He clearly likes that galloping room, but they ran good overall time. Iconoclasm just continues to put them away, and this was probably his best win on Saturday. He stepped from the 1400 to the 1600 and had absolutely no issue dealing with that. I think he's now going for a spell, and he'll be very competitive at Stakes Grade over the spring carnival. Would have thought so, and Rossman both flashed into second and third respectively, and they had the race shape to suit. They ran home off a strong tempo. I thought Free Fly 2 ran fantastically well to hold on and run fourth, given he was part of that early speed battle. The other co-leader in Lord Sundowner dropped out and ran 12th. So that was a good effort from Free Fly 2 and one that might sneak under the radar. And that horse I referenced, who was backed at odds late, Masculino, did not have much luck at all in the straight, and I think that's another horse that we can follow going forward. There was clearly a bit of money to suggest it was going to run very well on Saturday, Nadia.
Okay, Matt, we'll come back and wrap it up in a minute. This is Winners on RSN 927 at 29 past 11. At a 29 to 12, Matt Welsh is with us from the Trial Files. We've just talked about the feature races from Morfordville and also gone through all nine races from Flemington on Saturday. Matt, what do you think of the horses to follow from Flemington?
Race one, Nadia, I'm going to follow the filly Moret and also Zutori up in trip. I think if they step up to a mile plus next start, they'll be hard to beat. Race four, Jake's Hill. I'd like to see him step up in trip to 2,000 metres next start. I think he's flying for the Wallace stable. Race eight, Pilo Desai, ready to win now, third up off a long break. And out of the last one, I failed to mention there in the review before, but Own Street Way, trained by Matty Kamani, went around about 150 to 1 on Saturday. I thought ran quite well. Could be well suited down in grade next start. He had no luck at Warrnambool the start prior, so a horse who's going well, and also Masculino, as I reference. And just from a spring point of view, I think we learnt the boom times. Caulfield Cup win was no fluke on Saturday, and Iconoclasm is one that we need to look out for in a couple of months' time when the racing gets serious again.
What about the week that was? What have been some of the performances of the week?
Yeah, a couple of really nice maiden winners. On Tuesday at Sale, Smoke Signal for the Mick Price Yard won very impressively in race three over 1,200 metres. He ran three lengths quicker than the benchmark 64 later in the day. And for mine, is a horse who can step up to 1,400 next start and be even better suited. So that's Smoke Signal from Sale on Tuesday. Wednesday, Sandown race one, Duality. This was a horse we mentioned as a coming maiden winner a couple of weeks ago off a good performance at Geelong. And he duly stepped up on Wednesday, won over 1,300 metres, which was race one on the card. And he ran probably the best performance of the day. He led in fast time. He controlled the race. He got a little bit tired late, but he was entitled to given the amount of work he'd done. So I think Duality can certainly step up to Saturday racing over the winter months. And out of Friday night at Cranbourne, another one that came through the same race as Duality at Geelong was Holy Command, another one for Mick Price. Won race eight at Cranbourne, a benchmark 64, and it was a very strong benchmark 64 straight out of maiden grade, and he simply belted them. He did have the on-pace bias to sort of suit him a little bit, but ran good time, and I think he is a horse that can go to town next start and be very hard to beat. That's Holy Command.
You found us a couple of winners last week at the Wednesday program. This Wednesday we're heading off to Ballarat. Fields are out. Is there anything we should be keeping an eye on?
Ballarat, I'm keen on the two-year-old race. Hopefully we can get odds good enough to be able to back both Tahitian Dancer and Ajana. Tahitian Dancer making its debut for the Shane Nicholls stable has trialled very well on a number of occasions. And Anjana was ultra impressive at Wangaratta on debut for the Weir Yard. So those two at Ballarat on Wednesday. And just one at Geelong on Tuesday, I think, will be very hard to beat. Race 7, number 7, Our Luca. He set a cracking tempo at Pakenham last start when just run over late. He looks very well suited in race 7 at Geelong on Tuesday, Nadia.
All the best of luck with it, Matt. It's always a pleasure. We'll catch up next Monday.
Have a good week. Thanks
a lot.
There
he is, Matt Welsh from the Trial Files. It's now 26 to 12.